you for coming. So I guess just to get started, if you can just describe a bit about your background and what, you know, the path that led you to come here.
Sure. I'm from South Africa, obviously, and my academic background is that I'm a psychologist by training, but I've also been working within higher education for the past few years in different capacities. The last one being more of a practical orientation towards getting supporting academics in higher education back home, specifically within my university at WITS, with grants to produce knowledge much quicker and also much more equitably. My personal background is that I'm from the Eastern Cape, in a small village, Lusikisiki. And I'm a member of a family of 7 kids. And my mom is a single parent since my dad died. And I guess I'm also the first generation of university graduates in my family. Although subsequently my younger siblings did go to university, but I was the first. And what brought me here specifically is I was in a point in my career where I needed space to just consolidate what I'd been working on for a while and concentrate within a vibrant academic community that is supportive, and I can just sit down and write and attend things that can support that process and speak to people that I can learn from. So that's what brought me here. Harvard in particular, I mean, it was a great opportunity because, you know, it was just a bonus, the fact that it was Harvard. I needed to go anyway. But yeah, it was just an added opportunity for me.
How did you hear about the fellowship?
So, you know, part of my work back home is I look for opportunities for our academics, because we support that. And I came across this. And, you know, while I did send it out to everyone and encourage people to apply, I also thought, wow, this also suits my needs perfectly.
Right.
And I had received it. It was distributed. I can't quite recall where the source was, but it was an email that was just being around it distributed, and I forwarded on to our academics. But I then subsequently went to follow up online what the criteria were, and I found that I fit the criteria, which was great, because often a lot of grants have particular kinds of conditions that limit who can apply. But for a change, this fit perfectly.
That's awesome. And can you tell us a bit about some of the influences in your life that you attribute to getting to where you are?
Yeah. I mean, academic influences in particular, there's none that really stand to mind where, you know, I had this great mentor or anything like that. But, I mean, strangely, while my mom has never been within a university in her life and didn't finish formal education, but the level of recognition of what education can do for one, she's always gotten that. And never quite understood what I was doing, but was like, you know, you just, as long as you're at school, as long as you're doing something that's going to expand your horizons, do it, and I will pay for it as much as possible. So I think that's what's got the seed going. I didn't attend the best schools either, so, you know, it was just having that level of encouragement and support from a person that really matters. And I also love literature. I read a lot, and I would read these great both South African and African writers, and, you know, and their worlds were just so big, at least in the stories that they told, and I wanted to be part of that in some way. So that's really what got me in, what influenced my development and my trajectory to this point.
And kind of jumping off of that, you know, what are you doing here at Harvard?
So I am writing. That's what I'm doing. I'm also attending some courses, but my main objective is that over the past few years I've been busy with my PhD and needed time, which I didn't have back home, for a number of work reasons, academic reasons, and personal reasons. While I had time, it just was not enough. So I needed to cut out totally. And this is the opportunity that is provided here. So I'm writing up my dissertation. I have my data, and I'm just putting things together with the hope that by the end of my time here, I can have a substantive draft, which is in its very advanced stages in readiness for submission by the end of 2013. So that's what I'm doing. And I mean, it's awesome the fact that I can sleep at 3 o'clock at night and not worry that I need to get up early the next morning. But I'm also attending some courses.
What are you taking?
I'm taking, there's a pro seminar in African and African American Studies, which is my host department while I'm here. And the pro seminars just really gives one a taste of the broad spectrum of African studies, which in some ways I'm familiar with, but also African American studies, which I'm less familiar with. So it gives one a good sense of grounding in there. I'm also taking a course in history called Everyday Life, which is interesting because for me it brings together, its foundation is performance studies, and it brings together the creative literary edge that I am interested in and the ways of writing that come out there. And it also has these great fellows from across the US, about 12 of them, who attend the seminars, and it lends for very vibrant academic contributions and diverse contributions that one can learn from. I'm also then independent writing courses, so that's my writing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This kind of touches on the next question, but can you talk a bit about your research question that you're doing your PhD on, and you know, how you got onto that?
Sure. So I'm looking at employment equity, which is in US terms like affirmative action, but not quite the same, because of South Africa's past, which is quite similar in some ways to the US past. What got me interested in it is, for one, it's a cut thing in South Africa. It's topical, it's emotive, and there are a number of questions that haven't been asked. It's just relatively new, and I'm hoping to contribute to the body of knowledge in that area of asking questions in ways that have not been addressed before. And what's the personal investment in it for? Because I, you know, for this kind of commitment to something over a long period of time, you've got to be emotionally invested so that it sustains your interest. Is that my own experiences in the workplace, the conceptions that people have of what constitutes competence and merit are often, you know, if you look at face value, there are a number of stock narratives that explain who is competent and who has merit. And how that's constructed. But there's a whole lot of things happening behind those constructions. And I taught a bit at my university. And I would have these experiences, and my colleagues too, of students questioning, one, the kind of, just your competence, basically. Mm-hmm. Despite that you had gone through all the hoops, the experience, and all the credentials. And it led me thinking, why this? Why are some people asked? Why are some people questioned? And, you know, you're constantly under surveillance. And I wanted to understand that. And that's what I'm doing with my PhD. I'm asking questions in relation to what identities are emerging in South Africa out of a post-1994 democratic dispensation where this employment equity discourse is so big in framing how people are looked at and understood and how they understand themselves. So I'm grappling with those issues. What constitutes empowerment, personal empowerment, psychological empowerment, mm-hmm. which is my background? When do I feel empowered versus when the organization says I'm empowered? Mm-hmm. What does diversity mean to the individual versus the organization? So those are my interests. Yeah.
So interesting. And in terms of, I mean, obviously the fellowship program has brought you to Harvard, and you've taken these classes and this time to write. But are there other things that, you know, fellowship or being here has contributed to your work or in other ways?
Sure. I mean, the fellowship's been awesome, and I'm not saying this because it's you, but it's been awesome in providing this opportunity. I mean, a lot of my peers are envious. So now, in addition to bringing me here, it brings me to a very vibrant academic community where there's constantly something going on, where you can attend a class this week and next week the person who wrote this great body of work, be there in another university or here, you know, pops up in class and you can talk about that work directly with them. You know, I attended Toni Morrison's talk 2 weeks ago. You know, many people dream of, of that opportunity. She's in her 80s now. There's no way she's going to be flying around the world. But because she's close by, you know, you can get in on that and experience it firsthand. And the library resources, and the community of students, because I live in university accommodation with a range of both American and international students. And just the things one can learn about the world and not just the US is awesome from that respect. Your horizons are literally broadened. And the personal friendships that I've made. I mean, people have been great, you know, in terms of, because it's more than the academic project, it's also growing in other ways and needing personal connections. So I've really been able to get those and feel beyond the fellowship that I'm hosted in a real way by people I've met. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. So yeah, so the fellowship is awesome. It really sets you up to make the most of the opportunity. And I think I have the maturity now. I'm older than your average student, so I think that I have the maturity to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. Yeah.
So in addition to getting to see Toni Morrison, which unfortunately I missed out on,
yeah,
are there any other things that stick out thus far? I mean, it's only been, I guess, halfway through your time,
yes,
here, but it's memorable moments, whether Harvard or in the US?
I mean, I think of the course Everyday Life that I did and that I'm doing because it's a year's course. And how, you know, so we discussed a few weeks ago this to start off the course, which is inspired by this author's book. And then she came a few weeks later to talk about her book. That was an interesting thing. I mean, African American Studies, which hosts, because it's a very diverse and interdisciplinary department, which hosts through its Du Bois Institute a range of talks. And I'm interested in literature, as I said. And there was this guy from the New York Times, who's a literary critic, who came, and he just blew my mind away. He was really good, and that just expands one's way of thinking. And the course that I have, there's the fellows that attend. I've met a few of those fellows and been able to look at some of their work, which speaks to mine.
Mm-hmm.
That has been awesome. So, you know, and then I've been able to go out to New York, and of course, it's a very different place to Cambridge. And it's great that New York is not too far away from here, because, you know, I come from a big city. I like to Johannesburg, which has, you know, the vibrancy of a big city, and sometimes I miss that. So it's great to be able to get out there, and New York reminds me of home in those ways. Yeah, I mean there are the great memorable moments, but off the top of my head, those stand out. And I mean, it's for me, it's often the little things that make the big impression. The little connections that spark in the most unexpected ways, I think, make the experience bigger than what one anticipates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, talking about African American studies, I'm just curious, you know, in the US, the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation is coming up, and as an African, I'm just curious what that means to you, or what you think of when you, you know, in terms of American history that connects with Africa.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of opportunities to think about that, because I hadn't in a real way grappled with that in the past. But being here and having a lot of friends that are African American has been interesting in there. There's this, you know, and one expects that after so many years, but there's this way in which some of them identify with Africa as the motherland for them. And many of them, the ones that I know have been there, but I get it that a lot of them haven't been there. So it's this thing in their imagination. But then it also, in the imagined way that Africa is seen as, you know, negatively in the world. But there's this nice tension that's held in that one has this connection to this place, which is seen as, you know, bad now, where democracies are struggling in the way in which democracies are conceived by the rest of the world, at least. But I think my sense is that African Americans have come a really long way from being slaves to a place now where they have a significant voice in the society. And I'm very aware of the challenges they continue to face and familiar with those as well. So I just think it's awesome, though, that things have been able to turn around in the ways in which they have. but also very aware of how class latches on to race in society, and that the people I meet at Harvard, probably not the most representative of the broader men community or African-American community. So I think there's a long way to go still, but I'm grateful when people try to establish those connections where they see themselves, yes, as American, but are able to, in a healthy way, reflect on their history. And I think too few people reflect on the history and what joins us as a common people in terms of place of origin. But there's been, throughout the years, and I've come to see that much more while here, through the department where I am, a lot of connections with the African continent and very vibrant connections which have created. I don't think that African American people would see themselves the way they do if they had totally cut ties with the continent. Mm-hmm. I think they are richer for the connection, but I think we are richer as Africans for the connection with them as well. Because I don't think that I would be here had African American people not kept the ideas and the struggles that we were facing with in South Africa in particular. They kept those ideals alive, and I think Harvard paid attention to that and created this fellowship, because it's a relatively old fellowship in that predates South African democracy. But I think it's a direct consequence of the imagination, the ways in which people supported us and thought about us as part of them, that gets us where we are today.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, the view of Africa typically in a negative light.
Yeah.
But recently there's been, you know, talk of Africa rising and Africa's yeah. turn and more of that positive
yeah.
connotation or vision. What do you think about that new spin on it? And yeah. is it just
yeah.
a new spin for marketing's sake? Or
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily significant that it happens now, this new take. And part of it is marketing, because I can think back to South Africa's former president, Thabo Mbeki, at the end of the 90s. In fact, earlier in the mid-90s, when he was speaking and a number of people were speaking of an African renaissance, of African institutions like the African Union being revitalized in a major way, where peer review mechanisms across countries were happening. So I actually think that this has been ongoing for the past almost 20 years, and maybe it was even more significant then. It also coincided with South Africa gaining her democracy, which was perhaps the last country on the continent to get independence, as the other countries had got it. So, and I think there's been real concerted ways in which Africans have begun to reimagine themselves since then, in ways of moving away from Afro-pessimism. While that didn't necessarily change how the world viewed Africa, but I think it's important that Africa views itself and takes a stand on how it views itself, a realistic stand at least, that can be independent of how the world views Africa. Because, you know, we know that self-affirmation starts with self-affirmation, where, you know, you can be getting positive reviews from everyone, but if you feel bad about yourself, that's not good enough. So I do think it's great, though, that the rest of the world, I'm not convinced the rest of the world is actually viewing Africa positively, but I think certainly parts of the world, and I think my time here at Harvard has revealed a real interest in critical engagement with a realistic portrayal of Africa, and part of which is a very positive portrayal, but also cognizant of the challenges that we mm-hmm. continue to face. But I think that the rest of the world continues to face if a microscope is turned fairly and equitably to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's blemishes all over, but there's really significant strides in trying to make things better.
Kind of just in closing, what will happen after you leave here? What does the future hold?
I will become a Harvard professor. No, I joke. So I intend going back to my university, University of Witwatersrand in Johannesburg, and continuing. So I've been associated with my university for quite a long time in different capacities. So I was initially a lecturer there, teaching there, and then I moved on to in the field of employment equity, incidentally, that I'm really, really passionate about understanding and supporting people to, you know, to be excellent at what they do. I now see my time here at Harvard as having been an opportunity for supporting myself, and I can go back in new ways to contribute. So I see myself potentially going back into an academic, having attained my PhD, which I have to get, so, and publications out of that. And also, though, constantly, because I believe activism-oriented work is important, support work in a university is important, and that's what I've been doing in the past few years. So I'd like to continue to merge those, to produce knowledge in the area of equity, while actively supporting Black female academics in particular that are extremely underrepresented in higher education, despite the fact that they're the overwhelming majority of the population in South Africa. That, for me, is a stark indictment on where we are, and that's what I want to constantly work on, both in an academic way and in an activist support way. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you for speaking with me, taking the time, and it's been a pleasure to have you on campus thus far.
Thank you very much. I look forward to the next half, and I hope that I can work extra hard.